Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. In 1971, a young Martha Davis joined the Warfield Foxes, a band from Berkeley, California. In 1975, they moved to Los Angeles and changed the band name to The Motels. The new name was inspired on the way to the band's first show at Barney's Beanery. Guitarist Dean Chamberlain noted the Motor Inns as they drove down Santa Monica Boulevard and suggested, "What about the Motels?" The band broke up, then reformed in 1978 with guitarist Jeff Gerard, who brought in his brother Marty on keyboards and saxophone, Michael Goodrow on bass, and Brian Glasscock on drums, rounded out the quintet. This lineup played around L.A. for 6 months before signing with Capitol Records on May 13, 1979 on Mother's Day. The Motels released 5 albums on Capitol Records between 1979 and 85, two of them earning gold record status and generating 2 top 10 singles, Only the Lonely and Suddenly Last Summer. When the band broke up in 87, Martha released Policy, a solo album that charted in Australia. After leaving Capitol, Davis spent years working in different musical genres with multitudes of players. Recently, it became apparent that one particular configuration generated the same feeling as the original band concept. In the spring of 2018, the Motels released their most recent record, The Last Few Beautiful Days. Please welcome musician, singer, songwriter for legendary new wave band The Motels, Martha Davis. Hello, Martha.
Good morning. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good morning.
Thank you.
I don't know. I can't keep track anymore.
Where are you today, anyway?
I am at my farm, which is outside of Portland, Oregon.
Oh, wow.
It's a beautiful day. It started off very cold. It was about 30 degrees last night.
Oh, my goodness.
So the frost has all melted off, though. The animals have all been fed, so we're good.
What kind of animals do you have out there?
Well, I got to go out and let the chickens out. It's the main thing in the morning. And then the goats are fine, and the alpacas are fine. They're still just grazing. We still have enough grass and everything for that. But if it starts snowing, then we got to start hauling the hay around and stuff.
Well, we don't have to worry about that here in Florida.
No, you don't.
But you know what? You'll be here soon.
I know. It's going to be very strange to go from frosty cold to beautiful. I guess you're having kind of a heat spell down there?
Yeah, it's been pretty hot, but it's getting a little cooler now. It's getting a little better, but it's been hot.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, this has been the hottest year on record, as a matter of fact, in Florida. Yeah.
Yeah, the climate seems a little disturbed with us, I think.
I think so.
Hold on one second. Chico, come here. This way, buddy. That's the old dog who doesn't see or hear too well. He's outside by himself. Not good. Okay, everybody's like, good idea. Then I have, of course, the chicken that lives in my kitchen. I will bring summer attire.
There you go. Yeah, you won't need anything like jackets or anything like that, sweater.
I'll put my little cap away and my, yeah.
There you
okay.
go. Well, you're going to be heading to the Savor St. Pete Food Festival on Saturday for a cooking demonstration, and you're going to be officiating a pop-up wedding. Is that what it is?
Yes, I am.
What?
The first time. You can definitely teach old dogs new tricks. I've never officiated a wedding, and it's very exciting and it sounds really fun. So, what the heck?
What the heck? Isn't there also a thing called Cooking with Rock Stars that you're going to be part of?
Well, that may be postponed for right now.
Okay.
But I will be cooking with Chef Kai Tanner, and we were just actually on the phone in cahoots with our plan of attack for what we're going to be up to. So it should be absolutely just a fun, wonderful time with wonderful food and love in the air. You know, it's going to be good.
Yeah, food is always good.
Food is always good.
Yeah, you're going to have a good time in St. Pete. That's a nice place. Really nice place.
Well, you know, when I was 15 years old, I became an Air Force wife in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
That was not the easiest of times, but and I'm sure Tampa's changed a lot since 1966. So, but yeah, I lived there 2 years.
What was that?
Right at the end of MacDill Air Force Base.
I was just going to say that, MacDill Air Force Base. Yeah, that's a nice base. Real nice base.
I mean, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been there.
Well, when was the last time you've been to Florida? You got some great Florida dates. Thank you for coming to Florida first.
I know.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. We get down there occasionally. It's
right.
Kind of like one-offs usually, which, you know, I'm really excited about this upcoming tour because it's going to be a little bit more saturated.
Right.
And aside from that, it's going to be full shows instead of, I've just done a couple of 80s tours where you go out and you play three songs and you barely get started and you have to stop. So
right.
This is going to be wonderful to have a full show and be able to really, really get around the country and get to a lot of places I haven't been in a long time.
Well, November 1st, you're going to be at the Funky Biscuit in Boca Raton. Then you'll be in St. Pete. And then, let's see, in January, I guess the winter's tour starts in January, the 17th.
Uh-huh.
And you'll be at the House of Blues, which is one of my favorite places. I cover a lot of shows there on January 25th.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That's a cool
you'll
place.
Come and see it.
That place is going to be packed.
Yay!
Yep. Definitely. You're going to love it there. And you play. I see on your schedule you're going to be playing a lot of House of Blues dates.
Yeah, it's a Live Nation tour, and
right.
SiriusXM is one of the sponsors. It's a wonderful tour.
And this is going to be, the winter tour is going to be your 40th anniversary. Can you believe that?
Yep. I've been doing this for a little bit. Well, actually, you know, 71 would put me back before that, but that's the official signed Motels, anniversary, so.
It's incredible how many people are celebrating anniversaries, and the longevity is incredible, you know? It really
well,
is.
I know, and it's a business where literally the business has changed so much. I mean, we're celebrating an industry that's changed so radically since we originally got signed. But the funny part is it's actually kind of going back to what it was, in the sense that, you know, CDs are now sort of falling off the face of the earth. I tried to give somebody a CD the other day, and they said, "It's a DVD," and I go, "No," and I'm, "Where do you put it?" And I'm like, nobody has slots anymore for CDs, so CDs are kind of on the way out, but albums are coming back again, which is fantastic. We love that, and I actually started a record company this year called Remarkable Records, and I'm going to be bringing out the last album, Last Few Beautiful Days,
right,
on vinyl this year, and then other projects that have, you know, only been released on CD will be coming out on vinyl as I get to know how to do this a little better. This is the learning curve this year, so. But yeah, I'm very happy about vinyl being here.
Yeah, what I understand, vinyl actually beat out CDs this year in sales.
Yep.
That's incredible.
I saw vinyl for sale in the airport. I was like, what?
Yeah. But you know what? They're expensive.
Yeah, but there's something about, you feel like you've got something of value when you have a
right.
You know, you buy a CD and the jewel case breaks, and it says she's sticking it. Most kids like would just stick it in their computer and then throw away the actual CD. So it's kind of it's nice to get back to something that at least feels like it has some value, you know.
I was in the electronics business for years, and we had one of the first of everything, and CDs was uh-huh. one of the first. You know, we had the first Discman, the portable, you know, Sony disc player and all that, but they lied to us. They said that CDs didn't scratch. Baloney.
I know. They said you could drill holes in them. I remember that
you remember
whole
that?
Spiel, man.
Yeah. Bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Because right now I've got a bunch of CDs that are scratched like crazy and they skip, you know?
No, they were supposed to be in. I think Don Henley was telling me one day in the studio. He's like, yeah, CDs, you can drill holes in them and they never get scratched. And you're rah, 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 rah. And I'm like, well, that's just not true.
Well, you got another celebration coming up. I don't celebrate these anymore, birthdays.
Yeah,
I hit 60.
Yeah, I'm going to have a great birthday this next year because my birthday, January 19th, is going to be at the Paradise in Boston, which is a club we played 40 years ago.
40 years ago, wow.
Which we had a wonderful time. We always, the motels always, for some reason, did really well in Boston. That was kind of our little favorite market.
Right.
That in Australia. So that's going to be really fun. That'll be fun to get back there.
Yeah, my birthday's on the 27th of January, so we're kind of close there.
You're an Aquarius.
Yeah, Aquarius, yeah, right on.
And I'm a cusper. I'm right on the cusp between
exactly.
Aquarius and Capricorn, so I don't really know who I am.
Nevertheless, we're cool people.
We are.
I want to tell you, last few beautiful days, I gave it 5 stars.
Sweetie, thank you. It is a wonderful album.
I'm
so happy with it.
I love it. It's traditional of your voice and the sound of the Motels. It's just a great album. I really like it. There is every cut on the album I like. I think my favorite is let's see. We know Lucky Stars. That's a favorite on the album. Criminal, that was one of my favorites.
Yeah,
and of course, Last Few Beautiful Days, that's an incredible track. It's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I love this album, and it really kind of displays this wonderful band. You know, we've been together now, it'll be 17 years next year, I think.
Wow.
And these guys are young guys when I first started working with them in like 2003. We've grown together so closely. We love each other so much. Mm-hmm. And every single one of them is just an amazing talent, lovely. We're a family. We're a wonderful family. And then we got Marty Gerard back in the mix.
Yep.
So we've got two of the oldies and three of the new guys. And the thing about the younger guys is that they grew up with the 80s. While we were doing the 80s, that was their first music they were listening to. So in some ways, they actually like that music better than I do. Because I was there, and they were kind of like just coming on. And so, like, Nick, our bass player and producer, and he does a lot of the keyboard stuff, he's just a fan of the synthesizers that were about at that time, the real analog synthesizers and the first stuff. And he's wonderful with that stuff. And so it basically has the sound of the 80s, because they love that sound so much. And yet, my thing is always the next thing. I love writing. It's all about writing. It's all about trying to push the envelope a little bit, you know? And so it sounds new, and yet it doesn't scare you by just being crazy new. There's enough there of the old stuff and the old sounds to make you feel at home.
Exactly.
So it kind of worked out nice.
Yeah, I like the sax part too in Last Few Beautiful Days. I love sax anyway, so anything with sax.
It's a wonderful band. I do not feel like pompous by saying you should really come see this band, because the band itself is a great band.
I can tell.
A great band. Just wonderful players. So,
Isn't it nice to have...
Good times for me.
Isn't it nice to have good musicians in a band? That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yep, it's hard. I mean, there's only one thing harder than that, and that's management and things like that.
Yeah.
All the surrounders. But you know what? We work it out, you know?
And then a good producer, that goes a long way, too.
Yeah. Well, now it's, you know, Nick and I have been doing most of the producing on the last few albums, so I've been involved more and more in that kind of stuff.
That's great.
And as well I should be, you know?
Yeah.
I got visions.
Hey, if you have your own record company, you definitely do.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what's going on with your record company? Are you signing new artists to it, or what?
At this point, I'm just trying to get my first product out, which is The Last Few Beautiful Days.
Right.
You know, which is revising the artwork a little bit. I was going to change it completely and redo the track listing and la, 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 la. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know what? I'm so excited about the next album, which I've already started visualizing, which hopefully I'm going to start in December, have some time off, and start working on that. So, I said, you know, I love Last Few Beautiful Days. It's a great album, but I'm on to the next, so let's just get it out. We're you know, altering it enough, but the fact that it will be on vinyl will be very good. And then I'm going to start putting, I have so many songs and so many projects. I have projects I've done with, like, amazing artists, like Arthur Barrow, who's a great bass player. He played with Frank Zappa, and he's a wonderful writer. And we've written at least an album's worth of stuff, you know. So projects like that, that even though they're from the past, they may have some value. I'm even thinking about trying to do the original Motels, you know, the very first, the Warfield Foxes, which we were a crazy band. Mm-hmm. But, you know, might be interesting just to have as archival piece, you know, to go along with the rest of it. There's so much to do. There's literally so much to do. And that, trying to keep that going and keep touring and keep creating and then keep the farm going.
Yep.
It keeps you busy.
Well, the farm itself will keep you busy.
The farm right now is so glorious. It's a beautiful sunny day here. Everything's green, green, green.
Yep.
The deer are coming out every day because the apples are all falling from the trees. And so we've got deer, you know, basically they'll just drop by all day at various times.
Yep.
And, it's wonderful. I have a wonderful life, and I'm, you know, it's not always, you know, an easy, smooth, you know, I don't have any great empire or anything.
Right.
I piece things together and I make it happen, and I've managed to do what I love to do my whole life, you know? So in some ways it's been an extraordinarily lucky and beautiful life, or, you know, but it is life, so it's never very perfect, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm happy.
Well, you know, if you're positive, that makes life happy, you know? If you stay positive, that's it, you know.
Absolutely, and that's what we all have to do,
exactly.
You know. We have to, like, try to overcome the fear that's gotten us for the last 20 years and try to, you know, go forward with solutions instead of just being afraid, because I think that's been our problem since we were all going to die in Y2K, and then just went downhill from there.
Isn't that the truth, huh? Yeah, if you watch the news every day, you won't even go outside your door.
I know, and you can't do that. You can't do that. It's just, you know, life is not it's not easy.
It's not easy.
It's often cruel.
Yep.
But it's also spectacularly beautiful and inspiring and worth living to the fullest. So rather than get frightened and mean and you know, try to, you know, just gather what's yours and hunker down and not be involved in it. You know, you gotta open up and just be. You know, it's okay. We're all gonna die.
Yep.
Nobody's getting out of here alive. that part's a given. So just enjoy every day.
Exactly. I'm with you 100%. You know, when you think your life is hard and you talk to other people, you go, hey, my life's not too bad, you know?
Exactly.
And that's the truth.
That's what I always do if I'm having a pity party. I'm like, no, think about this or that. And you're like, oh, Yeah. Never mind. I have a saying, when things get a little wonky, I just go, I guess that's what we're doing right now. And then you just go with it, you know?
Exactly. It's all how you look at it.
Yep, absolutely.
Talk about the one track machine. That's a very cool track. What's that? Talk about writing that one.
Okay, well, that started. I was when Nick was still living downtown. He had a loft downtown, and he was off doing something. That's where I would stay when I'd go down there. It was an interesting place because it was right across the street from the Midnight Mission, which is like basically Skid Row.
Right.
So downstairs was just a tremendously sad place. I mean, beautiful in some ways, in the sense that there was, I would watch those people down there, and you know, it's heartbreaking because they're people living just on the street in tents, but the way they would take care of each other, there was things I saw even in that really, really sad state that were just kind of inspiring and beautiful. But that's where he lived, and that's where I spent a lot of time while we were working on the record. And I was cleaning his studio while he was out doing something. I was just sort of straightening up, and I found an arpeggiator, which is just this little thing that goes, you know, creates arpeggios, which are just little runs of notes. And I came up with the chord progression for machine on this crazy little arpeggiator. And then he had to try to reproduce it, which was not easy. But it just sounded so mechanical and sort of maniacal. And when I first started writing the Last Few Beautiful Days, the theme was to be about the things in life that were troubling to me. And the machine, and how we have become parts of the machine rather than, you know, our own individuality, was one of the things that sort of spoke to me. So, and in the music business especially, you can become part of that, where it's like, you know, there's Nirvana. They're amazing. And then they stamp out, you know, 50 more Nirvanas. You know what I mean? There's like, become what it wants you to be as opposed to what you are.
Exactly.
So that's just sort of where that came from.
What was the early days of the motels, the record companies and managers and all that? Were they good to you guys, or how'd that go?
Well, the motels got signed without a manager, which was really weird, and then Capitol's like, you gotta get a manager, you can't not have a manager.
So we were kind of
scrappy. You know, when you're 20, you kind of think everything, you know, you kind of are invincible, and you kind of think you can conquer anything, and there's a lot of, and it was different in that Capitol was a very, at that time, music was very much about, they looked for talent or something unique or something, and it didn't matter what genre, I mean, if it was great gospel, if it was amazing jazz, if it was capitalism, you know, they were very music oriented. It has sadly, I think, become a lot more, you know, monetarily driven and less artistically driven.
Oh, yeah.
So you get much more of a bean counter aspect of what A&R is if you're going to go out and sign. And to be perfectly honest, there's really not a lot, unless you're Adele or Taylor Swift or, you know, a big name, the record companies don't necessarily, I don't know if they go out and hunt for talent like they used to.
Not anymore.
I don't know. I really don't. But when we were signed to Capitol, it was a great team.
Mm-hmm.
They loved us. They kind of, John Carter, the guy that signed us, found us, had literally found us in 75 and tried to, you know, had expressed interest in 75, and that night the band broke up, and then we reformed in 78, but they always seemed to be champions of ours. And even after two albums failed miserably, and then the third was rejected, they stuck with us, which is unheard of. You would never see that in this day and age. So that's why All 4-1 is called All 4-1, because it's actually the fourth album, not the third album. And but the third album, Apocalypso, just got released in 2011. So yeah, it's It was a different time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You also had, you got a cruise coming up.
Yeah.
In March, which is what actually took over. All these rock cruises, you know, there's a cruise for everything now. There's a disco cruise and a rock cruise, and, you know, you name it. But it's got to be a lot of fun. Have you been on the cruises before with...
I have not been on a cruise. Wow. And I am not a girl that would seek out a cruise because I'm just not that... I don't like vacation. I think of a cruise as a place you would go to vacay, you
right,
know?
Right.
I either like to work or be asleep.
That's funny.
So it's going to be interesting. I'll get to go on a cruise and work, but... You know, my work is play, so.
Right.
But it'll be fun. The B-52s are going to be there.
Yeah.
I love those guys. It'll be great to see them again.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a great. All the MTV people are going to be there, so I'll see all my old buddies. It'll be fun.
The only thing about the cruises, they're always sold out so far in advance. You know.
Yeah.
I've always tried to get tickets to one of these cruises, and I always miss the boat. Literally.
Literally.
Yeah. I can never get it.
Yeah, I guess this one sold out too.
It did.
I don't know what they do. I wish shows would do the same thing, but maybe that's just maybe you got to be on a boat. I don't know.
I always say it's like Woodstock on the high seas. You know, it's pretty
exactly.
Cool. Well, this one's in March. This is the we play the 80s cruise. You got the B-52s, Bret Michaels, Berlin with Terry Nunn, Loverboy, Patti Smyth and Scandal, Asia, he's been a guest on my show, John Payne, he's a good guy, Lita Ford, I know, she's been here a bunch of times, and of course you guys, and you mentioned the MTV VJs, Mark Goodman, Nina Blackwood, and Alan Hunter, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, those guys are so great. I mean, it really is like seeing, I mean, it is, it's old friends, you know, it's not like we hang out all the time, but it's always great to see each other.
Exactly. Well, the two big songs that I love, and, you know, I've got a lot of memories. I was a top 40 DJ back in the late 70s and early 80s. I played your music, and I also got married in 83. So, of course, Suddenly Last Summer was very dear to my heart. But what a great song those two songs are, and the video, I mean, it's to me, it was mesmerizing. You know, you just had... You're thinking about the beach, and you walking on the beach with the band, and you know, it's like you went into another world.
Yeah. It's. I mean, when I write, I tend to try to write, you know, very kind of cinematically, where you feel like you fall
exactly.
into a different place, you know.
Yeah.
And suddenly, those two songs could not be more opposite in terms of how they were written. Like.
Right.
Only Lonely, I picked up my guitar and the whole song was literally sitting there. I just sort of like started playing and it came out and I wrote it down and it was done. Suddenly Last Summer, gestation period was probably 4 years, something like that, maybe longer.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first inklings of it, not the inklings of the song, but it started in my in Berkeley in my backyard, and it was summer, but it was the end of summer, and I was just sitting there. It was a beautiful day, and then all of a sudden, this cold wind where you felt fall, you felt the seasons were changing, and it was just like real obvious, like end of summer, here comes that cold wind, and I heard the ice cream truck, and I went, that's the last time I'm gonna hear the ice cream truck this year. And then, cut 2 years later, I'm down in LA, it's 3 a.m, and this da-da-da-da-da wakes me up in the middle of the night,
right.
And I start writing, but it's part of this same feeling of something is passing and it's not coming back.
Yeah.
And I think it has to do with, probably has a lot to do with me as a young girl when, you know, one summer everything changed, and next thing I know I was an Air Force wife in Tampa, Florida. You know, and things do change markedly in your life to where you're not going to be able to go back. And you know, for the most part, we can't go back to a lot of things. We can feel nostalgic, and we can have memories, and we can have olfactory sensations where you know, we smell something, or grandma's gingerbread cookies, and you're taken back. But you can't really go back. So music is one of the few ways that people can time travel, and that's the beauty of it. And so that's kind of the story of those two songs.
I think Suddenly Last Summer brings memories to everyone. You know, everyone's got their you know, their summer that they always remember. If it, you know, if it's not a romantic summer or just as a kid and with your family or whatever, it's, you know, that really hit home. That song really hit home. It's a
Did you see what it did this summer when Suddenly Last Summer became American Horror Story? Like it was like the for the new campaign for the new season.
Oh really?
Suddenly Last Summer, and they used the heck out of it, and it was awesome.
Yeah, that helps, doesn't it? When they use your song.
It does help. Mama loves it.
And movies and video games.
Yep,
that's awesome. We talked about the new record label. What about, is there a new children's music, something going on?
I have, you know, a lot of my stuff is not necessarily new. It's never been able to, you know, with whoever I've been working with, you know, as managers or whatever, have not had the forethought to actually get stuff out. And so now that it's kind of up to me and my trusty friend, Marseille, I'm trying to get these projects that I've done years ago out. I've got the kids' records. I have more than one. Neither one has seen the light of day. I have my jazz album, which I'm getting very close to getting out. I'd love to get it out this year, but I don't know. Like I said, there's all these different projects that I want to get done. But part of it is just, I am a person, you know, I don't write every day. I don't go, I have to sit down and write a song. I don't do that.
Right.
But when I do write, I tend to be very inspired and I tend to write a lot. And so I have a lot of music. I have country and western music. I have jazz music. I have kids' records. I have, and I want to start just getting these projects out, you know. Sad to just see them lingering in a cupboard somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
So that's my goal for the next couple of years, to start actually getting some of this stuff out and at the same time creating new.
Well, you got to get some help on the farm.
Yeah, I know, it's true.
Did you ever come out with a like a box set or an anthology for all your music?
I have not done that.
That's another, you know, put that on your list.
Okay. Well, I mean, there was for a while. It was really funny after when I left Capitol. It was really weird when I came out with the solo album. Was right when they were changing from LP to CD.
Right.
So the band had broken up. I had a solo album, and usually when you have a solo album, they'll surround it with your old, you know, if you're from a band, they'll put the band stuff around, so you go, oh, that's so-and-so from such-and-such. Well, because they were transitioning to CDs, they deleted all of the Motel's product. They just I think they destroyed it. You know, any of the old albums, any of the old cassettes, any of the old anything got just destroyed. So when Policy came out, and it was Martha Davis' solo album, it was just Martha Davis. And since I had done such a good job of making it a band and not Martha Davis and the Motels, just the Motels, nobody really knew who I was.
Yeah.
And for years, there was no Motels product available until Culture Factory came out with a really beautiful little duplication of all of the albums on CD. And that was the first time the whole Motels catalog was released and available on CD. But we kind of vanished from sight for a long time, just on the physical market. There was, you couldn't really get Motel's product, so that might not have helped the career.
Do you have the original tapes?
The original what?
The original, you know, tapes that the original recordings.
I have some, and most of them are property of Capitol Records. Somehow I strangely ended up with some. So, and I actually have some outtakes of Suddenly Last Summer video that I'm going to try to get digitally transferred pretty soon, because I also have an idea for a new stage show that I'd like to do, so I'm working on that Because we're all living in anniversary time now.
Exactly. Yeah. And then right around the corner.
There's a lot to be done. I sometimes overwhelm myself.
Well, it's the farm. I mean.
I know. I'm looking at my chicken who's looking at herself in the.
That's a lot of work.
In the glass on the door. She just thinks she's fascinated. My little dinosaur. So cute.
I asked you about the tapes.
Doing stuff.
I asked you about the tapes because there's so many artists now that are putting their total repertoire together as, you know, anthology box sets, because so many original tapes have gotten ruined, like Universal. You know, there was a fire there, and a lot of artists lost all their original stuff. Yeah. You know, it's happening a lot, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'm that's the one thing about me that's not probably really good. I'm not an archival person.
Right.
I'm not a backwards looking person. I'm a kind of forwards looking person. especially if it's already been out.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in the stuff that's never been out and getting that out than trying to keep something that's already been out because it's out. I mean, it's in the cloud. It's wherever. You know, it's around.
Yeah.
But stuff that's never been heard, that's the stuff I'm interested in getting out.
Sure. Exactly.
So and that's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs. So I got my work cut out for
you. Yes, you do. You mentioned I've Got My Standards. Is that the jazz album?
Yeah.
Okay. That I gotta hear once it's out. I'm a big fan of jazz myself, and I would definitely look forward to that.
Well, I'm working on it. I had this concept for a photo shoot, and I was trying really hard to pull it off.
Right.
And one of the elements in the photo shoot, which I'm not going to discuss at this point, was just impossible to find. And I was like, oh no, do I have to like rethink this? I was that close to trying to pull off the photo shoot last weekend. Was that last weekend when I was down in LA? And literally, there just was. Yeah, I can't give it away because it'll give away the whole joke. But anyway, I'll keep at it. If I have to change my concept, I'll change my concept.
Right.
But it's very funny. hopefully I can get that going soon. And I have an amazing for one of the kids stuff. I've actually started writing stories for each of the songs. So, and I have this dear friend of mine is this amazing illustrator, and she's working on it. So basically it'll be a story with a song attached, and then, you know, they'll all come together to make an album at some point. That's really wonderful. And then I'm working on a TV show with a friend of mine as well.
Goodness.
So I'm working on a a script for a new TV show. So there's that as well.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of opportunity now for TV shows, now that everybody's got Roku and it's, you know, they binge watch, you know. There is a lot of opportunity there.
It's true. And it's a very creative time. It's like one of the most open times for television, as we've seen. You know, it's like it's not about the networks anymore.
It's
wide open and anything goes. So that's a good time. That's a good time for art. That's what art loves.
Yes, it
to
is.
Be free.
Yep, it's binge watching time. That's what, you know, you just keep watching them one after another.
Yep, absolutely.
Martha, here's a question I ask everybody, and I get some very, very interesting answers. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to perform with or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
It would be David Bowie, obviously.
Oh, really? David Bowie. Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's the whole reason I'm in this mess.
Really?
He literally... his combination... Because my musical background came from... I mean, the first record I ever remember being impressed by was The Rite of Spring by Igor Stravinsky when I was like 5.
Jeez.
My mom had it on 78, and that thing would freak me out. I loved it so much. It would just scare me, and it was just amazing. I would just sit there and watch the 78 going around going, whoa! and then the first music I started actually playing was Negro Spirituals. And that was the first songs I performed was Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and We Must Walk This Lonesome Valley when I was in the fourth grade. That was because my teacher made me. But I never wanted to be a performer. That wasn't my thing. But then I fell in love with soul music. And there's so many aspects of music that I love musicals. I fell in love with musicals that were so sort of opposites. They didn't seem to go together in the musical world. And then David Byrne came along and combined them all. I mean, his stuff is like, musicals with sci-fi, with soul music, I want to do that, man. That's awesome. He's combining all. It was very theatrical. It was very, space age, and it was just everything. And that was what made me go, yeah, mm-hmm. I want to do that. He combined everything I loved. So, that's who I'd want to be hanging with. Plus, I think he was probably, he was just an amazing guy from everything I read.
Yeah.
He was just wonderful and so brilliant. And to die with the grace that he died with and to leave us the most beautiful album afterwards, can't go wrong.
I mean, he was dedicated to the very end, wasn't he?
Yep,
the last videos. Yeah.
Absolutely.
True artist. But you and Cherie Curry from The Runaways, you have the same answer. David Bowie was a big influence. Yeah,
her and her chainsaw. Yeah.
That's amazing. I don't know how she handles that chainsaw and does all that.
I know.
It's crazy.
She's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah, I guess you guys, did you guys run into The Runaways, or that was before?
We were cohabitating at the same time.
Yeah.
Crazy Kim Fowley and all that weird,
crazy
early LA stuff. Very strange times.
And you and probably Blondie was big turn during your time as well, right? Blondie, the Cars.
Yeah, on the other coast. We didn't hang out in New York a lot. So the whole CBG, we had the mask in LA while CBGBs was going on there. And they might have preceded us a bit, in terms of, I'm not really quite sure chronologically how that worked.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I hung out with Chris Stein. They were doing a benefit here, right in my backyard, basically. And I'm in Sarasota, but I'm right between Sarasota and Bradenton in an area called Lakewood Ranch. And they actually came here and did a benefit right on the golf course here. And I met Chris in his van, and Debbie Harry was getting dressed in the other bus, beautiful bus. And all we talked about was wrestling.
Oh my God.
He's a big wrestling fan.
Oh my. Who knew? I didn't know that.
But this is what was funny. It was a benefit, and he stops and asks me, he says, "What is this benefit for?" where are we?
Sometimes you don't know. You just get being told by your agent to go over here and do this thing. And
exactly.
Sometimes all the information is not so forthcoming as you would think.
Yeah. What is this benefit for? Where are we? I know you do a lot of benefits.
That's what I ask a lot. Where are we?
Where are we? I can see that happening. Martha, anything else you want to add or promote? Did we cover it all?
I think we did a great job, and I thank you so much for taking so much time. I really appreciate it. Yeah, we're going to have fun. Everyone in life should do that.
Yep.
Try as hard as they can to have fun and just take care of each other. You know what? We can make it through this crazy mess that we're in if we just pay attention and take care of each other.
Well,
and the planet, of course.
If we all pay attention, if we all pay attention to Martha, we'll all be okay,
Exactly.
I want to thank you for being on the show, for all the incredible music you gave us and continue to bring. Can't wait to listen to all those unheard songs that you have.
Yeah, if I have my way, you'll be like, God damn it, Martha, no more.
Sounds like
I hopefully will get. Once I get, I mean, the first one's always the most difficult because nothing's lined up. You know, you figure out who's going to press your stuff, who's going to, you know. But once you start getting the structure together, it should go a little quicker. But this year I also worked a lot, so it was doubly hard. So it'll be good. We'll just keep at it.
Keep at it and have a great time on the tour. It's going to be wonderful. And enjoy
the
cruise.
Thank you so much, and
enjoy
I hope to see you out there.
All right, maybe I'll see you out there. You're only going to be about 15, 20 minutes from me, so I should go.
Well, there you go. Okay.
Thank you, Martha.
Take care, Ray.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For more information about Martha Davis and the Motels and for all the upcoming concert dates, visit www.themotels.com and www.facebook.com/themotels. Purchased the most recent album from the Motels, entitled The Last Few Beautiful Days, at Amazon.com. I gave it 5 stars. Very special thanks to Marseille and Company, Management Public Relations and Event Management Specialist, for arranging this interview with Martha Davis, and of course the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsom of BBS Radio, for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. And please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It is real news, people. Don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business. Available now at Amazon.com. I promise you will live it. And coming soon, the Rockstar Chronicles Series 1. It's in production now. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.